listening to the U Urban Bible Study Weekly Leaders Training Podcast. The U curriculum is especially created by and for urban and multi-ethnic churches. This podcast is designed to help leaders lead a Bible study using Lifeway's U Urban Bible Study resources. Each week, we examine a biblical passage, review some questions teachers may face, and give a practical teaching tip. I'm Dr. Mark Crosston, General Editor for the U Bible Study, and today joining me is Dr. Christina Zimmerman, our Content Editor. Hello, Christina.
Hello, Mark. We are continuing our study of Walking in Confidence, and today we're studying Session 5, Confidence After We Fail. Now, we're going to learn something really amazing, and I know that all of us can deal with. We all make mistakes, right? But this Bible study is going to help us to understand that regardless of what we've done, we are never beyond the love and grace of God. Sarah and Abram experienced this. And they turned to God and trusted him, and he brought things out all right. So our scripture passage for today is Genesis 16, verses 1 through 5, and then chapter 17, verses 1 through 9.
All right. So our point for today's lesson is trust God to redeem your failures. Trust God to redeem your failures. And so let me start reading the first section, which is verses 1 through 5 in chapter 16. Abram's wife Sarai had not borne any children for him, but she owned an Egyptian slave named Hagar. Sarai said to Abram, "Since the Lord has prevented me from bearing children, go to my slave. Perhaps through her, I can build a family." And Abram agreed to what Sarai said. So Abram's wife, Sarai, took Hagar, her Egyptian slave, and gave her to her husband, Abram, as a wife for him. This happened after Abram had lived in the land of Canaan 10 years. He slept with Hagar, and she became pregnant. When she saw that she was pregnant, her mistress became contemptible to her. Then Sarai said to Abram, "You are responsible for my suffering. I put my slave in your arms, and when she saw that she was pregnant, I became contemptible to her. May the Lord judge between you and me." All right, so here we are. So the first point here is don't take over. Don't take over. So confidence after we fail. Here's one of the issues. We want to take life and situations in our control. And Sarah was looking at the delay in her getting pregnant. So it was at least 10 years, it says there in the text, since the promise. And she's looking at this delay as some personal failure. The Lord has kept me from getting pregnant. So he said, the Lord told you were going to have a nation, but he has kept me from getting pregnant. And so she said, well, let's see how we can work this out. And she says, you can sleep with my Egyptian slave Hagar. And in so doing, the Lord can give me a child. But the problem was that when Hagar became pregnant, Hagar knew or believed she was one up on Sarah because she did something Sarah couldn't do. And so she started looking down on Sarah, the servant looking down on the master, seeing her as contemptible. So Anyway, it was just one problem after another, piled on together. Why? Because we're trying to take over for God. We're trying to move into God's place. If God says he's going to accomplish something, our job is to continue to live before him in holiness, doing what we are purposed to do, and wait on God to do that which only God can do. What are you thinking here, Christina?
Yeah, I'm thinking that Sarah definitely grew impatient. You know, she was ready to have a child, and she was ready to have it at that point. But we have to remember that she didn't want to have a child alone. It was Abram who was her husband. And in verse 2, it says that Abram agreed to what Sarai had said. So it seems here that Abram too had grown impatient that God's promise would be fulfilled in their lives. And it's pretty clear in what we see here that God was not leading Abram and Sarah to do this. Hagar was a slave or servant at that point, and Sarah had developed a surrogate situation, a surrogate mother, a surrogate wife situation that was not right. It just was not right. Even though in that time, in that country, that was something common and accepted, it just wasn't right because it wasn't where God wanted to take them.
So not everything that is okay in the culture is okay with God's eternal plan. And so that's one thing we have to be careful about, especially as our country becomes less and less Christian. As our country becomes less and less Christian, there are going to be more things that are okay in the culture, but we still have to stand in alignment with God, even if something is okay. The idea of Abram having an extra wife was okay in their culture, but not necessarily okay in terms of God's divine and eternal plan. So don't take over. Don't take over for God. God is still God. Second, do what God expects. So let me now read chapter 17, verses 1 through 3. When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him saying, I am God Almighty. Live in my presence and be blameless. I will set up my covenant between me and you, and I will multiply you greatly. Then Abram fell face down, and God spoke with him. All right. So, wow. So here it is. Do what God expects. And so God now just, stands up and just reminds Abram, he's now 99 years old. He said, but the Lord says, I am God Almighty. So what does this mean? I'm the God who really doesn't need anything, huh? He is El Shaddai, the God who doesn't need anything, and the God that can do everything. And that's what we have to remember. We have to be reminded when we think we have to work out things in our own way, that God is the God who doesn't need anything. And he is the God who is able to do everything. In fact, part of the reason God waits until Abram is 99 to remind him of this is because God wants there to be no doubt that it was him and him alone that caused Abram to bear a child in his old age. Come on now. We don't go ahead and Google all you want. And you're not going to find, somebody 99 and 100. Try to find that on Google. And there was a few years ago, there was a woman in, I think, the Philippines who had a baby at 63. So God was looking down the corridor of time. And he said, in the 21st century, there's going to be somebody 63 having a baby. And so I want to make sure that nobody ever one-ups what I'm about to do. Come on. And so he waits until they are well stricken in years before he does that which only he can do. Why? Because he is El Shaddai, God Almighty, the God who doesn't need anything, and the God who is able to do everything. What are you thinking, Christina?
And that's exactly what I was going to say, Mark, that God is Almighty God. He's El Shaddai, all sufficient. He is the one who pours out blessings, who gives them richly and abundantly and continually. And he reminded Abram that was who he was. And then he told Abram what he was to do. So that's what this is. Do what God expects. He told Abram that he wanted all of him. He said, walk before me blameless, which means literally all. God wanted a total commitment from Abram. And we see in our key words, to be blameless. God was telling Abram to live like Enoch and Noah. And these were two men who were totally committed to God. Both of these men lived righteously before God, and they walked with God. So remember, even when we can't wait and we feel like we need to take things into our own hands, remember that God is all sufficient. He's able to give us what we need, and he desires that we walk blameless in total commitment to him.
All right, so here's the third point, is a reminder that when we fail, and here Abram fails by not continuing in faith, believing that God would do what God said he could do, God can restore us. So this ought to be hope for somebody. God can restore us. Let me read verses 4-9. As for me, here is my covenant with you. You will become the father of many nations. Your name will no longer be Abram. Your name will be Abraham, for I will make you the father of many nations. I will make you extremely fruitful and will make nations and kings come to you. I will confirm my covenant that is between me and you and your future offspring throughout their generations. It is a permanent covenant to be your God and the God of your offspring after you. And to you and your future offspring, I will give the land where you are residing, all the land of Canaan, as a permanent possession. And I will be their God. Wow. So God can restore us. You know, we take things in our own hands. We mess things up. But the God's sovereign will, God's eternal plan, he is still working out. And so he's now reminding Abraham of this over and over again in this passage, you're still going to be the father of a nation. I will make you extremely fruitful. Nations and kings will come to you. I'll confirm my covenant. It will be permanent. and I will be their God. So he is over and over again given Abraham confidence that God is going to work all these things out. So much so, he even gives Abram a new name. I'm going to call you instead of Abram, Abraham. Abram means the father is exalted. Abraham means the father of a multitude. So he said, let me give you the name that you need in order to be able to live this out. Abraham, father of a multitude. And so this is so very awesome. God changing his name, just like he changes sometimes our names as we seek to live for him. All right. What are you thinking, Christina?
Yes, that's so true. These are wonderful names that God sometimes gives to us. He has given us the name of saint, righteous, chosen, royal priesthood, son of gods, and so many other. He knows that he will accomplish the meaning of these names in us if we will just commit our lives to him. I think that's a wonderful, wonderful thing that God did when he changed Abram's name. Even though Abram messed up, he grew impatient, but we know that Abram did not turn away from God. He always trusted God and always kept his faith. So God continued to bless him and to honor him and changed his name from Abram to Abraham. And we might point out too that eventually God changed Sarah to Sarah, but that's in a subsequent chapter. So be sure and read that as well, how Sarah's name was changed.
All right. This is a great, great lesson, and we really appreciate it. If you're a Bible study teacher, I want you to hold on just for a moment because Christina is going to give us a powerful teaching tip. But I would just want to remind you that you need to get your copy of the You Bible Study Curriculum. You can find it at lifeway.com/you. That's lifeway.com/YOU. It is our FUBU kind of study for us and by us. It's our urban multicultural Bible study. It comes in paper and digital formats, got a great leaders pack. It aligns with our Bible Studies for Life student and kids curriculum. So there's something for everybody. Go ahead and pick up yours right now. So Christina, come on and give us our teaching tip for today.
Okay, our teaching tip for today is study the context of this lesson. Now, we've just studied that this week's scripture passage is just one of those times when Abram failed in his faith. He was just impatient. He grew impatient. And this passage has all the markings of a great soap opera. We see another woman who is invited into the bed of Abram with him and so forth, and all these things happening. But it's only part of the story. So make sure that when you prepare your lesson this week, that you read all of Genesis 16 and all of Genesis 17. Go ahead and pull out those commentaries again, Bible dictionaries and other tools to develop an overview of Abram and Sarah's decision to take these matters into their own hands. And once again, though, they did not fail God when they discovered that they were wrong. They put their trust in God, and they knew that God would do what he had promised.
All right. Thank you so very much. This is a great lesson and a great time to be teaching it. So join us again, friends, for our You Bible Study podcast, because you never know where God will take you.